just too much. If you see an other, and if you even get close to them or their blood, it's the greatest risk imaginable. These people think they're like the rest of us. And I fail to see the proof.
There you go. That is some sound from a horror film called Others. This is a 20-minute movie that was produced by Casey House to mark World's AIDS Day, which launched, hard to believe, 34 years ago today. And I'm listening to it, and I watched it, and I'm thinking, that is what it sounded like back in the day. It was so ominous and frightening and scary. And that is what we were filled with. So today is set aside on the calendar, you know, to mark the acceptance and to support those who have, you know, had to live with HIV, AIDS, which today is so mainstream and so very treatable. And I think a lot of us, including myself, I assume that the stigma surrounding this is gone. Once Magic Johnson came out, that was a big turning point to suggest, well, to state, this is not just something that hits the gay community. This is mainstream. And so I think this 20-minute movie is interesting because it reminds us all these years later that there is still a lot of shame and alienation for those diagnosed with a virus that, as you heard, once upon a time, we were told to be terrified. It was a guaranteed death sentence. And yet now it's very treatable and it doesn't just affect the gay community. I want to bring in Ann Simons, who is the CEO of Casey House. And boy, have you guys come a long way. You guys were pioneers back in the day when everyone was too scared to help. Do we have Joanne?
Thank you. Sorry about the troubles.
You know what? It's 2022, and what we can guarantee in 2022 is technology sometimes does
right.
not work. So I appreciate it. Nonetheless, we make it work. So I think it's interesting. One of the things when we talked about this, you know, this particular segment today, it was, you know, it was like, well, okay, what's our focus going to be? What are we talking about? It was like, well, the stigma. And I looked at my producer's head, what stigma? We're 34 years into this. I mean, I think most of us assume that there is not a stigma because it is more mainstream than ever before. So what are some of the stigmas that still face those who are diagnosed?
Well, it really is still based in fear. I think that, you know, there was a lot of conversation about HIV during the beginning of the AIDS pandemic back in the 80s. And as the medications got better and better, the conversation has diminished. And so discussion about HIV isn't happening kind of in the public in the way that it used to. And so there's a real fear of contraction of HIV through hugging, through kissing, through touching, through sitting on a toilet seat. Still, our clients experience this on a daily basis. And it's the one thing that we can't medically fix at Casey House. Yeah. And so really making sure that we're having a conversation with Canadians about their fear to really unpack the myths around it.
I mean, I grew up in that era where you were watching 60 Minutes at night when they first discovered this. And it was honestly, it was like, you know, people I think were looking at wearing hazmat suits. It was this virus that people were absolutely terrified of. That's what we lived with for many years of this warning of a virus. And certainly I think a big turning point was when Magic Johnson came out with his diagnosis, because it then forced the conversation that this is not just affecting the gay population. This is and can affect everybody. And I think he did a lot of work to bring a lot of education to it.
He certainly did. I think whenever we have personalities where there are people who are thriving living with the disease, it starts to change the conversation within the community. You know, we had Princess Diana visit in 1991.
Yeah.
And there's this, right, very profound picture of her holding the hand of one of our clients who actually died within the next couple of days of her visit, but really trying to break it down. But it still exists. And it exists all through areas of the community. So we certainly have clients who are trying to access dental services, trying to access good health care, and are prevented from doing so because people are still scared of it. So I think we got a problem in education through a number of different channels that we need to continue to battle this, unfortunately, because, you know, we work with our clients as people, right? It's not about the disease. It's about seeing them fully and who they are. It's not about blame and shame on how they contracted the virus. And if you think about the pandemic that we've experienced, right, there were a lot of similarities in that first in March of 2020, right? The fear, the isolation, what does this mean? How can I catch it? So I think we should be learning as we go through all of these different moments in time, because, you know, these are some of the most beautiful people that I have had the opportunity to meet and to work with.
But no question, we all know them. I have friends, I know people who have had HIV, I know people who have had AIDS. They're in our lives. And again, the last thing they need is to be shunned. It's interesting, when we were trying to get you on the phone, I'm not sure if you heard about it, I was talking about Casey House, because Casey House, you know, came about at a time when people getting diagnosed with HIV in the gay community were being shunned, and you guys came along as this little tiny standalone facility offering supports that just simply didn't exist. And so when you look back to that point, to where you guys are today, being this, you know, an operation where people know, this is where I can go, where I won't be judged, and I will certainly have supports, and certainly it opened the door for many other support systems.
Yeah, we've had a dramatic evolution over the past 30 years, thanks to the medications. But certainly, you know, June Callwood, who founded Casey House, her spirit is still very alive in this facility. So we continue to evolve to meet the needs of our clients. And as I say, not just the disease, but looking at their lives as a whole. We now serve people who are at risk for HIV. So we've moved from hospice to hospital, really acknowledging the changing face of the disease.
What's your biggest challenge now, other than stigma? Fundraising, is that still a big challenge?
Yeah, I mean, funding always will continue to be an area of focus for us. But I think also, too, given the pandemic, the volume of demand on our services is ever increasing. And the complexity of the conditions that we're seeing are far greater than they were a number of years ago, because it's not just HIV people are struggling with, right? It's homelessness, it's substance use, it's mental health. So there's now many layers. So somebody may access services not just because of their HIV, but because of all of the other barriers to good health that they're presenting with. So I think volume for all healthcare and lack of staff are the two biggest challenges currently.
Yeah, no question. And so it's interesting, because I watched this film. It's only a 20-minute film called Others, and it was a reason. I mean, even the lead in that is someone who has HIV, truly believes in what he represents. And it's interesting, because it is so daunting. And I think if you're not old enough and you don't remember those scary days, the point of this is this still exists, just because we don't see it every day.
That's right. And Peter McPherson, who was the lead actor, just a brilliant fellow, one of the only actors we could find who would actually disclose his HIV status because of that stigma, right? From a career perspective, from friends, from family, what happens when you disclose? And so it took us months to find him, which actually then kind of proves the point that this movie needed to be made, this conversation needs to be had, and taking horror or a thriller to try and really emphasize to the community what it must feel like to be in fear of living with HIV. And so I think there's a really interesting way that we were able to meld together something that is, you know, a bit of a hook and some entertainment and gets you on the edge of your seat, but also talks to the real fear that our clients experience.
Nonetheless, 34 years, boy, we've come a long way. Very much appreciate it and the hard work you guys all do. So thanks so much, Joanna.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you.
That is Joanne Simons, who is with Casey House. And if you're interested in finding out any of their programming, they got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Voices for World's AIDS Day. And you can take a Google at that. It's about fundraising and some of the programs and talks that they will, in fact, be having.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.